In Scotland, when friends get together, they blether. When these three friends happen to be Scottish Blue Badge tourist guides, you can be sure that the country that they're so passionate about will be right at the heart of their discussions. Be it contemporary or historical, culinary or cultural, reminiscence or anecdote, from accommodation to zoos, the chat will range right across the entire alphabet of topics and issues that are live and happening in Scotland right now. We hope that you'll join us. There's nothing to beat a richt good blether.
And you could also join in our blethers on social media. You can find us as at Scottish Blethers on both Facebook and Instagram. We post additional content during the week that supports the podcast episode.
We love making the podcast and would love it if you could share them with your friends and leave a review on the platform of your choice.
Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the second series of Scottish Blethers. I'm Liz Lister.
And I'm Helen Houston.
Well, we're in the depths of winter still. All the festivities have gone by. It's a time of old clays and porridge, as they say. Porridge.
Porridge, that's right. Yes, it's quite interesting. We kind of got used to that in our household because my son Alistair, it's his birthday on the 7th of January. So, of course, all the decorations were taken down and the house was laid quite bare for his birthday. So I actually used to have an aunt, or it was my husband's aunt, who very cleverly used to arrange her Christmas present to arrive on the 6th of January, which was flowers from the island of Jersey.
Oh, lovely.
So you always had fresh flowers in, sadly she's no longer with us, but we always had the fresh flowers, which just took a little bit of the edge off the bareness after the Christmas decorations come down.
Well, that's true. So a little bit of sunshine. And of course, in last week's episode, we were talking about a little glimpse of sunshine in terms of the festivals that we have across Scotland and bringing light into the darkness. And at this time of year, the end of January into February, there's a huge festival that goes on in Scotland, and that's in Glasgow, and that's Celtic Connections.
Yes, it's a massive great thing, and it's just built up since the 1990s. It's built up to become, you know, hundreds of thousands of artists from right around the globe go to Glasgow at this time of year. And as I look out of the window just now, Liz, and it's still in complete darkness, I'm thinking, you know, it's quite a short little window, but of course it's in venues and it goes on all day. So Celtic Connections.
That's what we took as our theme for this week. And there's a quote from The Guardian that says, if there's one thing that makes wintertime in Glasgow great, it's Celtic Connections. And that's absolutely true. But before we start looking at what's happening this year, just, when we were thinking about this, I was thinking about, you know, they call it the Europe's premier annual folk, roots and world music festival. And I was just pondering on what actually are folk, roots and world music. And it all comes out of folk music. And when you think about it, this is very much in line with Scotland, because we always claim that Scotland's famous for its oral tradition, handing things down through families and social groups by hearing things rather than reading it. And as well as the stories, the other thing was the ballads that people would sing. And that is folk music, the music of the people, generally the rural people. So it's a traditional music, and we find it across the globe, but in Scotland it's particularly strong.
Yes, and it's quite interesting, Liz, that many of our listeners will have heard of the bard, the poet, Robert Burns, Rabbi Burns. Well, even in the 18th century, he was collecting all these sort of folk music things and folk stories and folk poetry and writing it all down. And that really, his collection that he wrote down then, has become one of the greatest sort of resources for folk music in Scotland.
Yeah, and some of our North American listeners might be more familiar with country music, and that's where the roots comes into it, because it's from across the world. For example, Americana in the US, the same sort of idea, passing it down, blues, gospel, country, rhythm and blues, even jazz influences coming into it. But one of the important things is that it's played on, traditionally, it was played on instruments like the guitar, the banjo, in Scotland, the accordion and fiddle, with vocal accompaniment. And of course, over time, we've now got revivals and contemporary forms of folk music and roots music. So everybody putting their own spin in it and making it of the moment rather than just something of the past.
Which is excellent, because I think that's where things tend to die out, when they don't move with the times. And that's one thing that, you know, bringing together all these people from across the world in Glasgow just helps to keep things moving forward.
Yeah, because it's not just about North America and Europe. Very much this is where the world music comes in. You know, that it's bringing from Asia, all over the Caribbean, steel drums, sitar from India. You know, this is what Celtic Connections is really all about, celebrating the connections with Glasgow across the globe and incorporating lots and lots of world music.
Yeah, and Glasgow is really well known as being a very sort of cosmopolitan and very integrated city. So it seems to be the right place for this all to happen.
Yeah, it's very much a magnet for musicians to come. You know, even when Celtic Connections is not on, you know, there's such a range of events and different genres of music available. And they say that, you know, Glasgow only has 500,000 residents, but in 1 week, every average week, never mind Celtic Connections, you have access to over 100 to 130 music events every week. So music really is the beating heart of Glasgow.
Yes, and I think it's worthwhile saying at this point, if any of our listeners are planning a trip to Scotland and to Glasgow, they should look online. It's too difficult to say on such and such a week you'll see such and such a thing. Look online, look under music, look under live music in pubs in Glasgow, and you'll find what's on at the time that you're actually in Glasgow.
Yeah, and any time that you're here, you can get all different types. You can go to a pub and you can listen to a ceilidh band. You can go to a world-class venue like the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall and listen to classical music and huge range of it. But of course, also, you know, the modern bands, you know, for years, Glasgow's had a strong tradition of introducing bands to the world, like Oasis were signed up in the Barrowlands Ballroom.
Oh, I didn't know that, Liz. That's really interesting. Yes. Gosh, I wonder if Noel and Liam Gallagher remember that.
I'm sure that they do. I'm sure they do. They're sort of place. I mean, Glasgow audiences are famed the world over. They're very, very rowdy, but they're also extremely enthusiastic. So all the energy really makes the bands perform at their best. So most bands love playing Glasgow because of the audience being such high energy.
That's right. And you mentioned the Barrowlands, and of course the Barrowlands really is one of the favourite venues now, because it's quite an intimate venue. It was in, at one time it was the dance hall, but now it's turned into this venue, and very intimate, and big bands who would normally play arenas just love coming to the Barrowlands because they feel they can get right up close and personal with the audience. And as you say, Glasgow audiences are quite unique.
Yeah, and of course the Barrowlands, because it was a ballroom, it still has this sprung floor. So you can imagine the enthusiasm of the audience jumping up and down on this sprung floor in the Barrowlands. So lots of iconic venues across the city.
Yes, and of course the big one that starts with or started the Celtic Connections was the big concert hall in Glasgow. Festival was started in January, because this was a time where the concert hall was empty. They didn't have any bookings of orchestras or more serious, you know, more serious classical type music. So they thought, well, we could fill the space by bringing some of these more niche musicians to it. I remember going to watch Joan Baez there many years ago, and that was quite an experience.
Yeah, but I think when you think of the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall, possibly what people would think of 1993, when Nelson Mandela was given the freedom of the city of Glasgow. Many cities across the UK that had supported him gave him freedom of the city, but Glasgow, I think, was actually the first to give him his freedom of the city. And when he came to Glasgow to receive it, he came into the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall, and as he was walking down, there was a really haunting rendition of Down by the Riverside. And he walked up to the stage, and I think I wasn't there, but I think anybody that was there, my goodness, what an event to remember.
Must have been in tears, yes. And I think Glasgow is one of the few places he actually came in person to receive the freedom of the city, you know, when he was released. An amazing man.
So you can understand why, you know, Glasgow was chosen as a venue for Celtic Connections, but it's also because it is a UNESCO city of music.
Yeah, that's quite amazing. I mean, people's thinking about Glasgow, it's this big industrial city, or it was, and that still lingers on, but it became a city of culture in the 1990s, and then the 2008, I think it was, it became the city of music. And these are just so the opposite end of the spectrum to this clanging of the shipbuilding, etc.
Yeah, and really the tradition of music and the success of the music industry in Glasgow today comes out of that working class background, because Glasgow, everybody sees it as this city with huge social problems, you know, divisions between the extremely wealthy and the poor. I always say when I'm explaining it on a tour, it's like the waves of the Clyde. Glasgow's success has risen and fallen like the waves. Huge ethnic diversity. And, you know, really the success, the economic success of Glasgow peaked at the end of the Second World War, because it was based on the really heavy manufacturing and engineering and coal mining. It had the shipbuilding, had all the manufacturing, textiles, the railway, the locomotives, the docks, really heavy industry that attracted lots of people to move into the city to find jobs. But of course, from the 1950s onwards, all that was lost.
Yes, and of course, all that huge industrialisation, the sound of industry was music itself.
That's true, yeah.
And a lot of the sounds and the music that came out came from that, just the sound of the machinery, the industry, just echoing right across the city. You couldn't be anywhere in Glasgow and not hear the sounds of industry up until the mid-1900s.
But if you think about it, if you're living in squalor, and, you know, there's not much in life, you're looking for a wee bit of entertainment. So out of all this industrialisation and the huge population came the music, because in the overcrowded cities, one of the things that you did was go to the pub or to music halls. So particularly around about the Salt Market area, all these illicit bars, or shebeens as they were called, and brothels, free and easies, where you could go through the back and you could have a good old sing-song, a forerunner of karaoke today. So, you know, out of that came the music halls, places like the Britannia, which is still going strong today, the oldest music hall in the world. So a real rich history of music.
Yes, and even bringing it sort of up to date, or nearly up to date, from the second half of the 1900s, you know, this sort of 70s, 80s, 90s, huge bands came out of Glasgow who are still playing today and singing today. Place people like Deacon Blue, which, you know, I remember them when I was growing up, the Deacon Blue. You've got Run Rig, fabulous band, which I think is now finished, but Deacon Blue is still going strong, and Hue and Cry.
Yep, and it's continued. I mean, Belle and Sebastian, Franz Ferdinand, yes. Fratellis, Travis from west of Scotland, Texas, Paolo Nutini, you know, just outside Glasgow, so huge. It's still to this day.
Lewis Capaldi, yeah. who is everywhere at the moment.
Absolutely. Yep, so, you know, a really rich tradition coming out of this. You know, they took, after, you know, the Thatcher years, when the last of the industry went in the area around about, they could just have collapsed. But they took this vibrant music scene and really developed it into the huge success that it is today.
Yes, and of course, Glasgow's motto is people make Glasgow. And it was the people who said, come on now, we're not going to sink under this. We're going to just get up and we're going to use the thing that makes us joyful, which is our music, yeah, and get there.
Yeah, I mean, that goes across Scotland, but Glasgow probably had the greatest resources. I mean, it's in Glasgow that you find the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, Scottish Opera, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, the Scottish Chamber Orchestra. It really is the beating heart of music in Scotland.
Yes, and for many years, the what used to be called the Glasgow School of Music and Drama, but is now the Glasgow Conservatoire, that has, you know, got through its doors have passed many, many people who've gone on to great success in the arts over the years.
And that's really got a big part to play in my history, because before it was the Conservatoire, it was the Athenaeum, and my mum was due to go to the Athenaeum to study music. That was where you studied music. She wanted to become a music teacher. But in her day, you had to get a group of hires. And the first year that she sat, she failed in English. And so she had to resit them, because it didn't matter if you got A's in the rest of them. If you didn't get the group, that was it. So she resat them again. And this time she failed their music, which was absolutely devastating. So she gave up all hopes of following music as a career. And my grandpa, he got her a job working in the railway as a secretary. And that was where she met my father, and the rest is history. So,
oh,
you know,
well, there you go.
So the Athenaeum has a part to play in my family history.
Of course it does. And it's interesting, my husband, he was a great musician, and his instrument was the pipe organ, the church pipe organ. But, you know, so that meant that he came up through the ranks of piano. But he used to go there at the weekend for his piano lessons, and he was doing all his music exams there. But he was all set to sit the final exam for his LRAM or something. And he was also a rugby player, and he managed to break his hand playing rugby. So he's a bit like your mum, Liz.
And my husband.
He didn't get any bit of paper out of the conservatoire.
Yeah, it was my husband as well, because he was wanted to be a PE teacher, and he broke his leg playing rugby, which he'd never played in his life. So, I mean, the path of true love runs.
Yes. Well, that's true.
It's fate. But, you know, coming back to this, I mean, I think everything came to a head when Glasgow was awarded the UNESCO City of Music title. I mean, this is a network which is part of Creative Cities Network, and it's trying to draw together cities that have a common theme in music, trying to sustain urban development. You're trying to draw people together and give hope and confidence to people.
Yes, and of course that nowadays we're all very familiar with the various choirs. I think practically all my friends, no matter where they live, are a member of a choir somewhere. And it's none of these choirs that you need to be a perfect singer to be able to go into. And of course, in Glasgow, you had the Big Sing Project, which just promoting, as you say, the well-being, getting people together to make sure that everybody is well. And these choirs, the jazz choirs, the sing-along choirs, they're great fun. But nobody's invited me yet, Liz.
No, not when it's mentioned the word singing. That is not one that comes to mind. But, you know, with it such problems, such social problems, this is a way of integration, because anybody from any background can, if they can't sing or play an instrument, they can at least enjoy music. So yes, it's a uniting way. And that's what all this city of music is all about, uniting people, bringing people together across the world, sharing information. And it really has, you know, where the traditional industries have declined, Glasgow is now over half the country's music workforce is based here. Five of the six biggest Scottish employers in the music industry are based in Glasgow. And more than that, it's home to higher education as well. You know, the proportion of higher educations, of music courses in higher education institution is highest here. So it gives it the largest population of music students.
Yes, and it's very typical of Glasgow and the Scots in general that they've said, right, you know, we've got this, we love it, we're going to make it work for us, and we're going to make it part of our economy.
Yeah.
But keep the sense of just it's a natural thing, it's just springing from the heart.
Absolutely. So back to our topic for this year. We understand now why Glasgow, maybe perhaps not what Celtic connections are, we might come back to that, but certainly global connections. But this is a very special year because this is the 30th edition of Celtic Connections. So a very, very prestigious event going on in Glasgow this from the 19th of January into February. So thinking about what's on, and I think it's important to keep these three themes that they have behind the Celtic Connections about multi-generational, easy for you to say, multi-generational, bringing together people of all ages, and then internationalism from all backgrounds, and then cross-collaboration, different genres, folk music meeting up with jazz, meeting up with country and blues, you know, all this bringing together and collaborating. That's running through the whole programme. That's what absolutely makes Celtic Connections.
Yes, and also they've got the Celtic Connections Club, which is just a kind of a venue after events. And that's where you get some unique collaborations, people just arriving there and almost just, you know, open mic. Somebody will start and then somebody else from a completely different genre will come up and join them. So you get some of these big names who are known as solo artists suddenly becoming duets in this Celtic Connections Club. I think a fly on the wall there would have the most wonderful sort of time.
Yeah, just jamming and having the opportunity to say I was there when, you know, it's this celebration of new talent, but, you know, people, as we'll talk about in a moment, people in their 80s, even their 90s, who still come back to it and can pass on their experience and their abilities to young emerging artists. So it starts off with the traditional opening night gala, where, as we say, it's all the artists who featured over the previous years all coming together. So the big names coming out in number on this opening gala performance.
Yes, and that is one where it's grown out of nothing. And one of the big names associated with it, who's actually the creative artistic director of the Celtic Connections, is Donald Shaw. And Donald Shaw himself is, if you like, a local man. He comes from Oban, or just outside Oban, Tainault. And some of you will know the wonderful band Caper Cayley. He was a co-founder of Caper Cayley while still at school, Liz, still at Oban High School. But he is well known across the music scene for his compositions. And for early 2000s, he composed a piece called Harvest for the opening number and brought in over 100 musicians that were going to be performing in the festival and performed. And then that became the opening number the second year as well. He is a very prestigious man and has written film scores for many of the big films as well.
Yeah, so it's this opportunity to allow everyone. I mean, many of these events are free, but it's people of all ages, all backgrounds. It's not costing you a lot of money, just the opportunity to hear and listen to this emerging talent. And one of the things that they have is a sort of spotlight on the emerging talent, an open stage. So at the exhibition hall at the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall, every night of the festival, they have an open stage and the six best acts win through to a final showcase on the last night. And if you win that, you get not just the prestige of winning the event, but also you can get all the spots at the festivals coming up the next year. You might even get a recording contract if you're lucky. So you can imagine that this is a launch pad for lots of our musical talent in Scotland.
Yes, I just have a wee smile on my face and I think it sounds like a much more talented Britain's Got Talent or the World's Got
That's
Talent.
True.
You know, there's real people on it rather than real talented.
I know
people.
Simon Cowell as well, although probably you might make an appearance in the festival
Cowell.
Club.
That's right.
That's true.
Yes, the people judging actually know what they're
Possibly,
judging.
Yeah. And what I was saying about all the local higher education institutions, Glasgow Caledonian, particularly a strong tradition in the sort of behind the scenes side of the music industry. So they have a series of events called Celtic Connections on Campus in the Reunion Bar. And there's students from the university, the audio students, but also the professional sound and lighting and the streaming of these live performances, they get the chance to get together. So it's not just the performers. This is a huge opportunity for all the backstage crew as well.
Oh, I think that for the students, this must be absolutely wonderful, because it's an opportunity for them to make their name and make connections with the people that they might be working with once they've completed their courses.
That's it. It's all about connections. And of course, it's about bringing people from across the world, because people flock to Glasgow at this time of year. And this year, there's one called Babel Blues, which is a Moroccan French outfit. And, you know, it's blending all these different styles, the traditional styles, the Afrobeat, blues. And so they say that their live shows are, what they would say, electrifying. Yeah, so just the opportunity, not just to see... That's my husband leaving, if you heard the dizzy. That's a Christmas present, a bell. So a little musical accompaniment there, which is absolutely appropriate for Celtic connections.
Very good. Yes, and I think the thing with the coming from across the world, one a country that we must remember, a lot of people will connect Celtic connections with Ireland. And of course, Irish music has a huge input to Celtic connections.
Absolutely. And, you know, homegrown talent as well. There's a Glaswegian singer-songwriter called Kitty that a lot of people are comparing to Amy Winehouse and Alicia Keys. So she's appearing. Fergus MacCready is one of the most exciting young jazz pianists in Scotland today, even on the world stage. He's appearing. And a very important thing is that a lot of these artists who are absolutely top of their range give masterclasses. They give workshops where anybody can go along, no matter what your age, what your experience. So traditional instruments, you can learn about them, you can join in the big song, lots of opportunities.
Yes, I think that's what's really nice about this festival, as opposed to maybe some of the other festivals across Scotland that we'll maybe talk about during the course of the year, is that it's such an open festival that people, the man on the street and the man who plays at Carnegie Hall or the woman who plays at Carnegie Hall, they can all be together on the one stage in the one venue learning from each other.
Yeah, the artists that come back year after year. So if you're familiar at all with the Scottish folk scene, one of our most best known is Archie Fisher. And he's a guitarist, very soft, gentle singer, a songwriter. You're really one of the best known in Scotland. But he was born in Glasgow into a large singing family, and he comes back year after year. But his sister was Cilla Fisher, and that's got a special connection for me, because anybody that has had children grow up over the last 20, 30, 40 years in Scotland is familiar with the singing kettle, spout, handle, lid of metal. What's inside the singing kettle? They perform children's songs. It was a husband and wife team, Cilla Fisher and her husband, Archie's Eyes, from King's Kettle in Fife. And they started touring with this folk music and performances. It was just wonderful. Did you go?
Yes, just very occasionally, because we lived over, well, we were up north at that time when my children were small, so the singing kettle didn't come up so much to the north, but they were everywhere, the singing kettle, and all their songs are well known.
Yeah, we used to listen to them in the car, but we did go to the performances. And Jenny, my daughter, was normally the most shy, retiring. But they used to have themes like pirates, or treasure hunts or whatever. And you had to get dressed up. And if you were dressed up, there was the possibility that you could get up onto the stage. Well, my goodness, she got herself up onto that stage. I don't know how many times, like Bunny Blue bopping the bunnies over the head and whatever. Actually, literally gave me a migraine on one occasion. I'm not prone to migraines, but I remember coming back from one of them and thinking, what's wrong? I'm seeing double. And it was all the flashing lights and noise of the singing kettle.
Oh, yes. But of course, Archie Fisher, he came on the scene with his, I think it might have been another sister, Ray and Archie Fisher were very much the duo of the time. And Archie Fisher, he also, there were lots of folk clubs throughout Scotland at that time, probably in the 60s. And one of the folk clubs was in Dunfermline. And a big name was a member of that folk club, or became a big name, and that was Barbara Dixon.
Yeah, one of my favourites.
Yes, yeah. She's beautiful, beautiful voice.
Yep, she started off as a folk singer, but then she turned more into the popular. She got picked up she was asked to sing for Evita, who is it? Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Yes.
And Tim Rice, yeah. Yes. So it was another suitcase in another hall that people might know from Evita. I know him so well. And then Blood Brothers, Answer Me, January, February. But what I remember about her, you were talking about the Carnegie Hall. I actually went to see her at the original Carnegie Hall in Dunfermline.
Yes, I've seen her there, yes.
Yeah. But what was unique about my experience at that is that we're sitting watching her, and in the middle of this, while she's in mid-flow, two men on opposite sides of the aisle got up and started having a fight.
Oh, no.
Literally, flinging blows. And then sorted it all out and sat back down again. I thought, just part of life in Dunfermline.
Well, we were very sedate. But of course, Barbara Dixon's great colleague, when she was folk singing, they were quite a duet, was a colleague of mine when I worked at the college, Jack Beck.
Oh, yes, and remember him, yep.
It was Jack Beck who, at the time, he was older than Barbara, but it was the time that he was the sought-after voice. He was the one that people wanted. So when they were invited through to Sandy Bell's pub in Edinburgh to sing, it was Jack that they really wanted to sing, but Barbara went too, and she was freer than Jack. She could kind of drop her job. Jack had responsibilities and he couldn't drop his job. He couldn't take that step. And she then went on to great things, as we know. And Jack continued to work at the college.
A chance lost, or yes, maybe a chance gained.
Well,
who
that's
knows?
Right. That's right.
Another one that comes back year after year, a really established face on the folk scene in Scotland, is Jim McLean. And people might not think of Jim McLean and music. If you think of Jim McLean in Scotland, we tend to think of a rather dour, sour-faced football manager that managed Dundee United. Yeah. My husband actually worked with him for a while, because if we've got any football fans out there, they might remember Duncan Ferguson, who was with Dundee United and then went on to Everton, and an interesting life led. But one of our claim to fame is that Duncan Ferguson was actually signed up in our front room, because my husband, for a while working with schoolboys football, he was a scout for Dundee United, and his father came with him and he was signed up. So there you go, if there's any football fans out there.
And of course, that's a totally different Jim McLean to the one that we're talking about with Celtic connections.
So that's who you think of, Scotland, if you hear Jim McLean.
That was a very typical Scottish Blethers interlude there.
I just have to get... It was actually my husband that said that when I was talking about Jim McLean. He said, oh, we signed up Duncan Ferguson, so I had to get that in for him.
Of course you did, yes. Yeah. But yes, you were talking about Jim McLean, the folk singer, and one of his big songs that he wrote that I must say, Liz, I was unaware of, but I know the song so well, was The Massacre of Glencoe. I often play to my groups with Alistair MacDonald singing it. It's absolutely beautiful and haunting.
Yep, and we use folk music so much on our travels because, as we said at the beginning, the folk music tells the stories. So the stories of events in history, but also, you know, being Glasgow, you know, the social upheaval, individual personal experiences. So it's telling stories. And Jim McLean is well known as being one of the best at doing this. He has a very soft style. He takes a story and breathes new life into it. You know, they say the best way to see him is to hear him live on stage, because he really is able to bring songs to life rather than just sing the song that others have sung before him.
And talking about, we were earlier about across the world, well, he's the one sort of credited with introducing the banjo techniques of the Appalachian Mountain songs into the folk music. And of course, Billy Connolly, another big name, started life as a folk singer and banjo player in Glasgow, having worked in the dockyards.
Yeah, another of these global links, strong links with the Appalachian Mountain music. Yep. And Jim McLean is 85, right? Yeah. He's in his 85th year. So, you know, really established. And another one that's been on the scene for a long time, she's now 83, Judy Collins.
Yes. I mean, I think it's wonderful that these people are still turning up at Celtic Connections, still performing and still drawing great audiences.
Yeah, but if you think, you know, I remember her back to my day as Both Sides Now,
yes,
which was written by Joni Mitchell. So she's still performing that, but she's producing new music. You know, even though she's 83 years old, she's just produced her first ever all original collection. And this is poetry that she's written over the years. So you can see, you know, old favourites that you've known all your life alongside new music.
As I said, that she introduced people like Leonard Cohen and Joni Mitchell, Randy Newman, to the wider world. She took their music out there.
legends in their lifetime.
I know.
Yep, and you can see them in Glasgow. And it's not just seeing the music side of it. You know, there's a whole celebration wrapped around it. You've got food vendors, you've got whiskey masterclasses, but perhaps as tour guides, one of the most interesting things is that you've got music city tours. You can go around and hear the stories from real live guides.
Yeah, so that's something that, you know, I hope it's not a vain hope, but I really would like to try and get onto one of these tours this year, Liz.
Absolutely.
And just go round with the guide who knows the music scene and knows the venues and takes you down all these old streets of Glasgow where the music began. I must do that because they're quite on quite frequently during the course of the festival.
Yep, I would love to do it. We go to all the old venues, and I just realised that I said earlier that Oasis were signed up at Barrowlands. They weren't. They were signed up at King Tut's Wawa Hut. I always love that. Those places have got such interesting names. Yeah, 1990s, they got signed up there. So they did get signed in Glasgow, but it was King Tut's, not the Barrowlands.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's the same kind of sort of suggestion of a place, isn't it?
Yeah, when we're talking about folk music and roots and going back, Gaelic Glasgow obviously features large in the music scene, is the Gaelic culture. And again, just like the music city tour, there's also a Gaelic Glasgow tour that's based around the cathedral and the high street roundabout. And it tells the stories from Gaelic's early beginnings in the city.
Well, this, and it's interesting about Gaelic, because this is something that Donald Shaw, that I mentioned earlier, that he realised when he was at school. He was very much into music, and his music teacher at school was, you know, really set him in the right direction. But he also, there was a Gaelic-speaking teacher at Oban High School who taught the bagpipes. And although Donald wasn't interested in playing the bagpipes, he went along to the classes because this Gaelic teacher, as Donald Shaw himself says, introduced him to a huge history of Scotland through the Gaelic culture. That he said, at school we were learning about the Romans in Scotland, we were learning about World War II, we were learning about these things, but the Gaelic teacher taught them the story of Scotland through the Gaelic culture, which had a huge influence on Donald's life in the future.
Yep, so teaching and opening experience and education is still at the heart of Celtic Connections. That's what it's all about, opportunities for all ages. So there's a huge education programme attached to it, particularly with the schools. You know, the established artists going out, giving performances, but also workshops, really inspiring people. And that's the only way that we're going to get the next generation of musicians coming through.
Yes, and the concerts in the festival hall for school children, they love it. I remember when I was at school, one of the former pupils of the High School of Stirling was a chap called Muir Matheson, who was a musical director for some of the big films in the 1940s and 50s. So he used to come back to the school in the 60s and you conduct the Scottish National Orchestra with some of these big theme film scores and tell us about it. And I'll never forget that, just having a well-known name telling me about the music he was playing and composing and why. So it was really interesting.
Absolutely. And this year, at this year's Celtic Connections, you've got a band from Quebec called Le Vent du Nord, and they're going out into the schools. They've been out before giving their sort of Celtic with a French twist on it. And then it comes back to local bands like St. Roch's Cayley Band. This was a club that was established over 40 years ago in Royston Secondary School, and it's still going strong, teaching traditional music. Yeah. But my absolute personal favourite, I mean, I am just obsessed by them, as most of Scotland is at the moment, Pete and Diesel. Do you listen to Pete and Diesel?
I have, and I've watched a programme on them. They are the absolute hilarious fishermen from Stornoway, aren't they?
Well, one of them's a fisherman, yeah, but they're a three piece from Stornoway. I actually did the Western Isles tour this year, and that whole tour was to the accompaniment of Pete and Diesel's music.
Yes.
Some people enjoyed it, I have to say. Not everybody on the coach did.
No, but they have got a very unique sound.
They have. Absolutely. Yes. Love them. Yes. So if you haven't listened to Pete and Diesel, which most people in Scotland have by now, they can sell out the Barrowlands. They are the hottest ticket in town. But they're going out into schools and working with thousands of children in schools around Scotland, trying to get them into the music vibe.
Yes, and I think the bit I remember about the bit I watched was the fisherman who was always late.
Yeah.
They could... They weren't Boydie. Sure. They knew he would always turn up, but he was always just rushing in sort of a little bit after the event.
Like Judy Collins, he's a legend in his lifetime.
Yes.
I think that's probably the only resemblance. A lot of their work is Gaelic as well. You know, that's their first tongue.
First language, so, that's
yeah,
right.
Yep. And at Celtic Connections, it's not just about, you know, bars and venues and all the rest of it. You know, we've talked about schools. You've even got things for preschool children and babies, Moondragon classes, where they're just, it's a bit like the singing kettle a generation later, catchy tunes, stories, interactions that are getting young people into the music scene.
Yes, and that's very important, just to keep it flowing. And that has been the tradition of the music, the Celtic music, right through, is just passing it down generation to generation and keeping it live.
Yep, and we could go on with this. We've run over, Helen, but it's two of our favourite topics, Glasgow and music. Could go on all day. And anybody that's coming, I mean, the tradition of the, he was talking about the bars, and there was a strong temperance movement as well, where instead of drinks, you got tea. And with your cup of tea, you got a bag with a bun in it. And what the audience used to do if they didn't like an act is they'd blow up the paper bag and bang it. So still rowdy audiences today, but very much a tradition of entertainment and music in Glasgow. So anybody that's coming to Glasgow, visit the bars that are still there, the Scotia Bar, the Clutha.
Yes, and just go online and suit live music in Glasgow at the dates that you want to, that you'd be in Glasgow, and you will find them.
Yep, over 130 events every week. So you're going to be spoilt for choice if you come to Glasgow. So, any words of the week, Helen?
Oh, gosh.
I know. I threw that one on you.
Yes, you threw that one on me. And funny, yesterday I was remembering to think about a word of the week. But I think possibly a venue we didn't mention was Oran Mór.
Oh, yes.
O-R-A-N-M-O-R, Oran Mór, which means big noise.
Yep, big song.
And that's
yep.
all to do with music, big song, big music.
Yep. And it's a converted church, another of these special yes. venues very much associated with music in Glasgow. Yep, that's a good one, Oran Mór, famous for a pie and a pint.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, it's one of the venues for Celtic Connections for that reason.
Yep. Well, I don't know if this is a Scottish term, but I was thinking of it when I was just talking there about the men getting up and fighting in the middle of Barbara Dixon's concert. A fisticuffs. Is that a Scottish one?
Yes.
A fisticuffs.
I think it is, yes.
Right. Well, certainly one that we use if there's breakout fighting. It's a fisticuffs. My tour members are always amused by the different names for fights and arguments. I always say, you know, if there's somebody having a little altercation in the street, I'll say, well, that's a little argy bargy. And then if it's between husband and wife, I say, oh, they're having a domestic.
I suppose that you're probably indicative of the culture that it's, you know, like, I think there's hundreds and hundreds of words for snow in Eskimo or Inuit.
Inuit, yeah.
I suppose that there's hundreds and hundreds of words for fights in the Scottish culture.
That's absolutely true. But hopefully the fevered brow is soothed by all this music that will be emanating from Glasgow at the moment. So I would love to go. I don't think I'm going to get the opportunity this year, but maybe we'll get along to one of their tours or something like that. So Celtic Connections, 30th edition in Glasgow from the 19th of January to the, what's the dates again? Hang on till I just check it. 19th of January to the 5th of February, we've got Celtic Connections.
Excellent. Well, Liz, you go off the sunny climes that you're heading off to now, off tomorrow.
Bit of sunshine.
Bit of sunshine. And I will stay here in the wind and the rain of Scotland, but I will enjoy it.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
And there we have it, the end of another episode of Scottish Blethers. If you'd like to join us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as @ScottishBlethers. And if you'd like to leave a review, please do so on your podcast platform of choice. It's cheery bye from me.
Ta-ta the loo from me.
And if I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the windy from me.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.